You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It is Thursday. I'm out of shape, out of breath, and happy Thanksgiving. I don't know why I decided to share that one part, but I am. I'm out of breath. I just walked Zuri for a mile. I ran 2 miles yesterday, and I was bad at it, which is terrifying to me because I used to be able to run 6 miles an hour, like, indefinitely, and I can't anymore. So I hate it. Thanks, I hate it. Anyhow, it is Thursday. It is Thanksgiving. We didn't do the podcast yesterday so that we could have today, and we are going to go ahead and answer your mailbag questions like we normally do on a Thursday, because I felt like that was the more important thing to do. So that's what we're doing. So lots of questions to get to, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Is Michigan's clock management always been this bad? I can't imagine its incompetence. Is it a trust thing? Similar question from Cool Breeze at K Breeze 15. Well, the whole thing is, yeah, it's been bad for a while. It's going to be even worse when you have younger quarterbacks. It's usually, I mean, there were some times when Shea wasn't that good at running a 2-minute offense, but I mean, yeah, like there's a lot of times where it's like you're screaming, call a timeout. Obviously, I was doing that against Michigan State. And they just weren't doing it until, yeah, and I mean, yeah, they got the ball back to give themselves a chance for a Hail Mary, but it's been bad for a while. It's been bad pretty much in the whole Jim Harbaugh era, as far as I can recall. So that seems to continue to be the case. So that is what it is. I don't like it any more than you do, and it makes no sense to be an outsider watching it and the coaches and players involved not being able to take advantage of time. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Do you think it's as odd as I do that Franklin seems to be flying way under the radar compared to Harbaugh, considering they are winless so far? Bonus, over under on number of QBs that play between both teams Saturday, 3.5. I'm going to go with the under. I'm going to say 3. I think Penn State will end up playing both Will Levis and Sean Clifford. Not sure who's going to start for them. I think Michigan will stick with Cade unless they manage to blow out Penn State, which I don't know that they will. And if they do, then I think it'd be the over, but that would be my guess. As far as the James Franklin thing, it doesn't make any sense to me because they are winless. They were a top 10 team going into the season, and he gets so much credit for what happened in 2016. Remember, yeah, they won the Big Ten in 2016 with some help from, obviously they beat Ohio State, but then a questionable spot kept Michigan from beating Ohio State, as well as other calls. So they went 10-3 that year, and they've had some decent years. They've had some bad years. It's really, they're mirror images. Not, I mean, it's funny because even this year they're a mirror image of each other. They are mirror images of each other, Michigan and Penn State. But Michigan is the one who gets all the attention. Penn State doesn't. People say that Penn State's way more talented. I don't agree or buy that. But if that is the case, if they are way more talented than Michigan, which, like, I keep on hearing people still saying, then why is James Franklin getting a complete pass for being winless? They might not win a game this year if it continues to go the way it's gone. So I don't get it. Michael Wolf at MWolf21, my brother in metal, what improvements do you want / expect to see this week versus Penn State? Just kind of more of the same things that worked last week. And one caveat, a fast start offensively. We haven't seen that yet this year. You saw it a little bit, I guess, against Minnesota, but it wasn't really the offense that got the fast start, right? They gave up 7, and then they scored, and then they got the defensive touchdown. I want to see the pressure being able to continue, especially since Penn State's the worst in the conference at giving up sacks. I want to see pressure up front. I want to see a fast offensive start. I want to see Vincent Gray continue to play really well. And it's funny because, like, I posted a Vincent Gray article about, I didn't even post the whole anything he had to say about his improvement because I somehow lost all of my transcriptions going back a month, and I had transcribed all of that and a bunch of other stuff and just lost it all. So I was just at that point, I'd spent hours transcribing and lost it all. So that's why there hasn't been as much output for me this week. But aside from the PS5, but I haven't even gotten to play it very much. Anyway, digress. Vincent Gray still gets a lot of hate. Last two games, he's been solid. Last two games, he hasn't let up a big pass play. He hasn't made, he's been in the right position at the right time. He hasn't made any pass interference penalties. Last 2 weeks, he's done really well. People are so slow to come around on him. So hopefully we see, I mean, it's going to be a big matchup with Jahan Dotson this week. So if hopefully he can continue that, because Jahan Dotson, he's going to get some yards. He just is. It's just like Rashad Bateman. He's going to get yards. But hopefully you limit it. And if they're able to do that, then that would be great. That's what I want to see. That's pretty much it. Trent Noop, my writer from Wolverine's Wire, at Trent Noop, with a joke question as he DM'd me after he sent it. If McNamara plays poorly Saturday, do you think people want to see Dan Vellari next? I know you're joking, but to some degree, that's not inaccurate. There's a question that we'll get to later that kind of covers some of that. So we'll see here. I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if McNamara doesn't light it up the way he did this last week, because there's film out on him now. And it's like I said earlier in the week, John O'Korn comes in, very little film on him except for Houston. Wilton Spate's struggling. John O'Korn comes in, looks awesome. And then suddenly, after that, doesn't. Brandon Peters comes in and against Rutgers, looks awesome. After that, doesn't. Heck, Joe Milton comes in week one, looks awesome. After that week, doesn't. Once there's film out on a guy and a team can study him, they can figure out how to stop him a little bit better. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a little bit of a step back as far as some of the aspects of what we saw this past week. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner one. If Michigan gets their first home win Saturday over Penn State, would that help with the King brothers, in your opinion? I don't know that it would. I don't think it will, to be honest. I think it's rare that one game. Yeah, it did with Rashawn Benny and Michigan State. That game seemed to sway him hard in the other direction. But usually it's pretty rare that a game or even a season completely, unless it's like a full-on winning season or a complete meltdown. I wouldn't say this season's a complete meltdown. I would say it's a disaster, but not a complete meltdown. Usually those types of seasons don't have games. One game and one season doesn't necessarily fully affect recruits, especially once they've made up their mind. Number two, what are your five stars on the Thanksgiving menu? Those must-have dishes. I know turkey gets a lot of hate. I love dark meat turkey. I don't like white meat turkey. For the people that hate turkey, I feel like they're just eating white meat. Dark meat turkey with gravy, mashed potatoes, with more gravy, stuffing. Those are, and green bean casserole. Those are my five stars. Those are probably the bulk of what I'll have tonight when I go to my aunt's. And finally, he says, number three, happy Thanksgiving, Zuri. Zuri is sitting behind me sulking because we just got back from a walk, and which is why I'm out of breath, because like I said, I'm super out of shape right now. And she's sulking because she wants to be on a longer walk. But that's not the case right now for her. All right. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you feel like you need a moment to chill? How would you like to hit that reset button and get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time with work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need that moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I don't drink anymore, but Thanksgiving Day, man, I used to put back some Coors Lights. Coors Light is not actually just the beer I used to reach for when I needed that moment to hit that reset button, but my grandpa, that's what he drinks. I'm sure that I'll be seeing a lot of Coors Lights between my grandpa and my cousins tonight when I go over to my aunt's, because that's how they roll. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It's perfect for a moment to unwind. Like I said, Coors Light's the one I used to choose when I needed to unwind. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Now, one other thing that I need to tell you about, and that is about Built Bar. And here's the cool thing about Built Bar right now. They've got a great deal coming up here. They are introducing, they're dreaming of a white Christmas, and this begins today at Thanksgiving Day at 5 p.m. They're introducing an all-new white chocolate bar while supplies last. It's 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar, a white chocolate salted caramel, which, oh my gosh, I think I got to get that, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. And guess what? 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar. I can only already tell you those are delicious. I've had those maple pecan ones. I've been eating 2 of them at a time. I've broken being vegan the last 2 days in a row just to have some Built Bars. Just been vegetarian. I'm telling you, incredible. It's incredible. 25% off all products all weekend long. Go to BuiltBar.com. Get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code for an extra... The promo code locked on for extra percent off. That's right. You can stack them. And guess what? There's also going to be a Cyber Monday deal. We will get to that later. But yeah, Built Bar, you know how delicious it is. If you've had it, you've heard me talk about it a lot. I'm telling you, get with it. BuiltBar.com. Promo code locked on, as well as promo code. Well, not even a promo code. You just need the 25% off. There you go. All right, let's get back to it. Tons more questions to go. My friend from Livonia lives in L.A., raced at Canis at Almighty Ray. Harbaugh and the Lions, can we make this a thing? Listen, if there was an amicable parting of ways after the season, that's what I think would happen. People say, I talked to my roommate, Matt Leach. He said, there's no way. I think that there would be a way for that to happen. If Michigan was like, feel free to entertain, I think the one team that could lure him would be the Lions, because he wouldn't have to move. Wouldn't have to uproot his family. I mean, the Lions are almost certainly going to part ways with Matt Patricia after the season. I think that would be the only NFL opportunity I could see him going for. I don't think that's going to happen either. But if it was going to happen, that's the one that I think could. Plus, he likes to turn things around. But in that note, I think he wants to turn Michigan around that much more than going and turning around an NFL team at this point. Dan Walton at 3D Walton. What's your solution for the short yardage goal line run game? I don't want to see Cade's number called again. It's pretty simple. Line up, hand it off to a back that is more adept at short yardage. That means Zach Charbonnet or Hassan Haskins. Have them follow Ben Mason. Just don't get cute with it. Again, they outsmart themselves. They get tricky with it. The Hassan Haskins wildcat throw is getting tricky with it. I didn't hate that, but at the same time, when you need a touchdown and you're on the 1 yard line or the 2 yard line, just light up and expect your offensive line to do the job. If you can't get it that way, like say you do it on second and goal, you line up, you're stuffed. Push comes to shove, run a play action. Run Ben Mason out in the flat like you did against Minnesota. I know that was like a second or third and eight, but still. I agree with you. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. If Penn State and Michigan switch schedules, what would their records be coming into this game? And also, are you optimistic about Cade? I remember John O'Korn having a hot debut against Purdue and then falling short every game after. I have faith in Cade's ability, fingers crossed. I think that I think Cade will be better than that particular example. but I'm not 100% sure that he's going to come out and ball out. We'll see. I think he very well could. I'm just not saying that that's necessarily 100% certainty. As far as Penn State's schedule and Michigan's schedule, I wouldn't say it'd be about the same. I think Michigan would probably still be either 2-3 or maybe 3-2. Let's just say, because Michigan's already played Indiana and lost. I think it would have been different if Indiana didn't have the confidence it had in having beaten Penn State the way it did and all of that. I think it might have been Michigan especially would have come out a little bit more on fire than they did against Indiana. I'll still call that a loss. I think that would be also a loss to Ohio State. But then I think they'd beat Maryland and Nebraska, and Iowa is a toss-up. So I think that they'd be 2-3 or 3-2. Whereas on the other end, Michigan or Penn State playing Michigan's schedule, I think Penn State probably would have won against Minnesota, probably would have won against MSU, would have still lost to Indiana, would have lost to Wisconsin, and would have beat Rutgers. So I think that they'd be 3-2. Maybe, but their issues are deep-seated, so they might have been 2-3. They might have still lost to MSU. They might have lost to Minnesota. I think they would have beaten Rutgers regardless. But at this point, I mean, they lost to Nebraska. Nebraska looks like a hot mess, so I don't even think that that can be – I don't even think that that's necessarily a given. Brandon Carpenter at Big House Go Blue 1. Does it seem like the play calling changed a little bit once Cade came in? I saw some rollouts and option play. I don't think we called for Joe. Joe seemed to roll out when he had to. It did seem like the play calling got a lot smarter. The personnel groupings got a lot smarter. I noted that in the live thread during the game. I thought that Michigan weirdly was just way smarter offensively with Cade coming in from a coaching standpoint. So I agree with you. Zesty Zaddy at the Mike B Show. Two questions today. Number one, Will Muschamp for DC next year. Good idea or bad idea? I think it'd be a great idea, honestly. I think that it's probably a foregone conclusion that, you know, barring an insane turnaround. And when I say insane turnaround, I mean 2016 level looking defense suddenly for the rest of the year. And that includes the Ohio State game and the bowl game. That Don Brown's probably not going to be invited back. Number two, is this a football game Saturday or a competition between Harbaugh and Franklin to see who can make more questionable coaching calls? Love the show. Have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Yeah, that's both of them always make questionable calls. So I think Franklin makes more questionable calls than Harbaugh. So it'll be a football game. Got three from Jim at Jim in the North. Am I wrong that name, image, likeness legislation could be a huge boon for Michigan? It seems like with Michigan's large alumni base, we could have a huge advantage for a kid. Absolutely. You know, I think that's one of 10 schools that could really make a difference in that light. Any chance could Michigan make an NFL prep degree? Let athletes in who don't want to be Rhodes Scholars and teach them finance and life skills to exist in the league and not go broke afterwards. Bring back Peppers and Woodson as guest lecturer seems like a win-win. Well, Peppers is still in the league, so it'd be hard for him to be a guest lecturer. Woodson, that might be a thing. You know what? I think that's a good idea. It's kind of a similar idea that I've had in that I think that they should just make football a degree. Because they're spending so much time doing football. You know, make them take tests, make them do all the types of things, like essentially like make football coaching and that type of thing a degree. But I don't think Michigan itself as an institution would ever allow that. I think they should, but I don't think it will ever happen. Last one from Jim. With all the talk about firing Harbaugh or Brown, do you think going forward with the transfer portal and the one-time free transfer rule, college teams are going to have to be much more careful in coaching turnover? I could see a coach leaving and taking players in the future. 100%. And there are some people, again, my roommate said, you know, let whoever wants to walk. listen, that's how you end up in a absolute forever purgatory situation. You could lose so much of your roster, especially if that coach goes somewhere else. So I think teams got to be extremely careful about it. Yes, the free transfer rule would, I mean, it would just, it you could see an insane amount of turnover. Don't have much more to expound upon with that. Alex Ketwich at Michigan_1Z. So what exactly is a basketball and how does it bounce? What are the physics? Zach Linfield said also need this answer. Obviously, Michigan basketball opened the season yesterday with a resounding win over Bowling Green. Looked really good offensively. Some perimeter defense issues later in the game. Not sure Juwan Howard appreciated my asking about that question number two in his press conference, but I wanted to get it answered. Nonetheless, what a basketball was. So what is exactly is a basketball? A basketball is, I believe, is an old wooden ship from the Civil War era. That's my answer. All right. We are going to finish out. We got quite a few questions left. We'll finish out here in a moment. We actually might finish on time for once on a Thursday. All right, two questions about Xavier Worthy. Slockpart, alternation mark, at D Wolverine 211. I'm nervous about Worthy's visit to Alabama. Should I be? Leon Adams at LL Adam. With Nick Saban testing positive for COVID, does that help with Xavier's commitment? No, on the latter one, because the coaches can't have any, it's a dead period. They can't have any contact with recruits anyway that come to campus. I wouldn't be nervous about Worthy's visit to Alabama personally, just knowing how solid he is to Michigan. But, you know, you gotta check out your options. He's going to go and be in town for the Iron Bowl. I believe that you'd be able to actually go to the game because they allow people like games down there. I don't think it's anything to particularly worry about. If Michigan doesn't win another game for the rest of the season, Alabama wins the national championship. Maybe. You got to at least show that you can highlight your receivers and keep some coaches around. I think that that's the important thing more than anything else. Kevin Standart part alternation mark. That's a emoji. It just spells it out when I do this. I don't know what it even looks like personally. Chances that Jim Harbaugh makes changes amongst the defensive staff after the Ohio State game. If things continue on the trajectory that they're on, pretty high. I don't think he's just going to stand pat because it's been bad. John Vallejo at John Vallejo 6. What's the status on Brad Hawkins, Cam McGrone, and Quiddy Pay? Don't know. I asked Jim Harbaugh about them on Monday and he did not have an answer. And I don't inquire on injuries beyond that. So don't, I can say though that, Ed Warner said that Mayfield and Ryan Hayes are both practicing in pads, so good chance you get those guys back. Zach Manick at Zach Manick. What schematic changes, if any, can be need to be made to get the defense playing better before the game? I don't think it's as much of a scheme thing. I mean, aside from just trying to figure out ways to get those blitzes home to create pressure before a quarterback gets rid of the ball, that would be the only thing. Otherwise, it's mostly execution. That's what's killed Michigan is execution, not scheme as much. I mean, scheme hasn't helped in the sense that they haven't been able to get home up front, and that's allowed quarterbacks to be able to deliver a well-placed deep throw. And when they've gone to zone, they've gotten attacked in the soft spots of the zone, which is always going to happen. I would bring the zone up a little bit because it always seems like whenever they go zone and they get tacked in the soft spots, they're giving up 8 or 9 yards instead of like 3 or 4. So that would be the only schematic change. Those two things would be the only things I would look at. June at June Mateo 05. Why does Michigan football seem to miss more often than not on highly ranked recruits? Is this on the coaching staff or the recruiting department? They don't miss more often than not on highly ranked recruits. I don't know where you're getting that. Yeah, they miss on some guys. they tend to get the guys they really go hard after. Yeah, you're going to miss on a few. That happens to every school. Every school. But, I mean, for the most part, they get the guys they go after. Not always, but for the most part, they do. So, if you want to have a more of a criticism there, it's that they're not going after some of the higher ranked type guys harder. But the ones that they really go after, that they really covet, they tend to get. Paul H. Lauren, at Paul H. Lauren, when does Edwards commit? When he is ready, when he has a decision made. There is no timetable as of right now. Probably going to be either early signing day-ish time or maybe even national signing day. Finishing us out, Jacob Chavaria at Jacob1721-3950. I'll throw a brick at my TV if Milton starts Saturday. If Cade chokes Saturday, could McCaffrey play? When a player seeks a transfer, are they still on campus and practicing with the team and eligible to play? McCaffrey is still in school, but he is not practicing. So no, you would not be able to play. You would not want him to play. And it sounds like Cade is starting. I think you're being a little too hard on Joe Milton. He had two bad games and two okay games and one great game. But it sounds like it's going to be Cade anyway. So there you go. All right, that'll do it for us today. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. We will be back on Friday with our preview show with Brandon Justice. We will talk then. Thanks for listening again. Peace.